good. We're going to be looking again this morning at the Epistle to the Hebrews. The Epistle to the Hebrews. And we're in chapter 13. Chapter 13. In verses, we're going to look at verse 8 and 17 today. And I will read those two verses. If you would please stand with me, if you are able, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. If not, then please remain seated. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 17. This is God's holy, infallible, immutable, inerrant Word. Receive it as such. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And I'm actually going to read 7 and 8. I apologize. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then I want to go down to verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God. You may be seated. Now I wonder how many of you immediately and secretly you recoiled or you stiffened your neck, your proverbial neck anyway, in hearing these verses read. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, and then obey your leaders and submit to them. And I mean, some people internally, I can almost hear it. Oh, I remember, alrighty. I remember them. Yeah, I remember how they failed. They failed me. You know, they failed here, they failed there, and this way or that way. I remember them. Well, first of all, we should remember that those men are not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It's his church, bought and paid for with his blood. He has not relinquished his role to another. He is ruling and reigning over the nations, and he is the head of the church, Ephesians chapter 1, 21 and 22. These rulers were all under authority. They were all serving under a commander. Remember how Joshua, when Joshua was the commander of the armies of Israel. And in Joshua chapter 5, he came up. Here he is. They're headed toward Jericho. And he comes along, this man he's all dressed in all the military garb. And he's like, are you for us or are you against us? And who are you anyway? I mean, well, he found out that's the commander. That's the commander of the armies of the Lord. That's the commander. And he's actually just an under-shepherd. That's what Joshua was. And so Joshua and all of God's prophets and leaders and spokesmen are men under authority. They exercise no legislative authority. They have no power to impose new laws or invent new terms. In fact, there is only one rule or standard by which the ruling elders and the congregation are obliged to keep. It's right here. This is the authoritative rule. It's the Word of God. It's the immutable, inerrant, inspired Word of God. That's the standard. And the Word of God is the only, it's the only sufficient, certain, infallible rule for all saving knowledge and faith and obedience. It's the Word of God. That's the standard. And you know, everyone is living under its authoritative rule, whether they acknowledge it or not. So in the church or outside the church, everyone's living under its authoritative rule. But especially in the church, and especially as God's children, we must acknowledge that we are God's people living in God's place under God's rule and blessing. And here's the rule book. Here it is, the Word of God. And you know, yet within the limits, though, which the head of the church, Jesus Christ, prescribes, you know, there we have these under shepherds. They're rulers over God's redeemed people. Within the church, there exists, though, there's a problem here we have to talk about. Within the church, there exists what? We have wheat, and we have tares, we have goats, and we have sheep, and we have those in between. We don't have a really clue whether they're going to become one of the, I don't know. We don't always know. And so there you have all those within the church. And even within the church, you have self-appointed leaders. They're self-appointed leaders. They've appointed themselves to these positions of authority, and they may be goats, or they may just be they may be wolves in sheep's clothing. But nevertheless, they're all under authority. And this we know for certain is that Jesus Christ does call and appoint men to fill these ruling positions in his church. And just so you know, the same word here is used in verse 8 and verse 17 and verse 24. If you look, you'll see the same word in verse 7. I don't know why I put down verse 8. I apologize. In verse 7 and verse 7, 17, and, or 7, 17, yeah, and down in verse 24, you have the same word that's used here, and it's hegemone is the word that's used there, which is for ruler or one who has authority. And that word, it sounds very familiar, that English word, that hegemony. And so it's kind of the same idea. It's a ruler. And that's what we're talking about here, these rulers that are appointed by Christ to lead his people. And so Christ, though, he calls these men, and he calls them. They're called by him, and they are appointed by him to these ruling positions, and he equips them for that. He does that. And he commands them to teach his disciples all that he has commanded them. So he directs them in what they are to do. This is what you're to do. You know, Paul commanded Timothy to preach the Word of God. And here we have an elder, an apostle, and an elder, and a ruler appointed by Christ who is instructing another ruler, Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, what does he do here? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he's commanding him to do what? What is he supposed to do as an elder in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14? And he tells him here, but as for you, you continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And so this is what you're to do. You preach the word of God, Timothy. Preach it. Because it's able to make wise to salvation. That's why. You preach it. This is the word of living God that saves and sanctifies. And Paul warns Timothy even against teaching anything else. You know, over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, he urges him. He says, "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith." And what does he tell them in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1? He says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." He's to preach the word. That's what he is commanded to do, is to preach the word. Jesus Christ has called you to faithfully minister the word of God to his people. That is the primary objective. That is the primary thing you are to do, Timothy, is to preach the word. Preach the word. Timothy, do that. That's what you're to do. Do that. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your calling. Preach the word. And even over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. "Command and teach these things." Command and teach these things. And in 13, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress." So here's what he's to do. Remember them. Remember them who imitate Timothy. Remember those rulers. Timothy being one of those. Remember them. Don't forget them. Remember them which have the oversight of you. Those which have declared unto you the word of God, as it says in Hebrews 13. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. So that kind of marks them out. It marks them out from the rest. They're preaching the word of God. They're teaching the word of God, like Timothy. Remember them. Like Timothy and Paul and Peter and Titus, and all of those, and all of them. Remember them, what they taught you. Don't let it slip away. Remember them, your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. And that was one of the exhortations in Hebrews all the way back in Hebrews chapter 2. We looked at many months ago in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4. He says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Well, what? What was that? Well, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And so this is the gospel. These elders were under authority. These rulers are under authority to do what? To preach the word of God, to preach the gospel, to minister the word of God to the people of God for the glory of God. That's what they're to do. So remember them. Remember what they taught. And that's what they're to do. They're commanded. They're under authority to preach the word, to promote the word. That's what they're to do. To preach it, to teach it, to sing it, to pray it. That's what it's all about. The fellowship around it. Let it saturate your lives. That's what they were to do. And the lives of those around them. And so they were to do that, to preach it, to teach it, to pray it, to encourage the people of God to listen to it and then encourage them to do it. But that's not all, you know, even more than that, Timothy, just don't teach it. He wasn't just told just to teach it, but he was commanded to live it out, to live it out before the people of God. Live it out. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Live it out before them. Set yourself up as an exemplar of faith before them. And in 15, 1 Timothy 4:15, he says, practice these things. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. And he warns him, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so they were to set themselves up as an example, to live out that which they were preaching before the eyes of the body of Christ. And that's what we're to do, to follow or mimic their behavior. That's what he says in Hebrews 13. We're to consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. So to follow their faith, to imitate their faith, to mimic their faith. Model it, though, is what they're to do. They are to model it and live it out before those sheep whom God has put under their care. They're to show them how to do life as a child of God. Not just preach it, but to live it out. To show them how to live unto God in holiness, without which no man will see the face of God. Show them your humble heart before God. Show them how to live in holiness and godliness. Show them your passion for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the truth of God, for the doctrines of God, for the people of God. Show them. Show them how to do family. Show them how to work heartily as unto the Lord. You show them that. Show them your commitment to the Word of God. Show them how to raise up their children in the way they ought to go. Show them, instruct them in not just word, but word and deed. Show them. Show them your obedience to the Word of God. Show them your life conformity to the Word of God. Show it to them. Show them your commitment to the Word of God, and they will be more apt to follow it. But you have to show them that. Live it out. You just don't preach it, you live it out. You know, rulers are men under authority. They're not free agents. They serve the head of the church. They serve at the bidding of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And that's what they do. They serve at the head of the church. They promote his interests, not their own. And so remember them. Remember them. In verse 7, remember them. Remember how they were faithful in teaching. Godly leaders promote truth. You know, the Word of God is that the sole instrument. It is the sole instrument of their ruling. It's right here. The Word of God. This is the authoritative rule by which they live and rule. They don't rule from their own authority. Their authority is to be founded in and on the Word of God. Every message, every warning, every instruction is to be based on and rooted in the foundation of the Word of God, the foundation of the authority of the Word of God. It must all be founded on that. You know, God's shepherds are not to preach vain philosophy and worldly wisdom. Instead, he will come and heralding the Word of God week after week after week after week after week. He will only promote the Word of God. For by it, leaders are commanded to instruct and rebuke and reprove and exhort. It's all by the Word of God. And this is that food or manna from heaven. It's right here. This is the manna from heaven. God has given this to his servants, to his rulers, and by it, he is to feed and instruct the sheep by the Word of God. And that's what he has given them. They have a stewardship from God, and they must feed it, the Word of God, to God's sheep. And this is sheep's food. And, you know, the prophets, that's what they did. They spoke the truth. They didn't withhold the truth, but they preached it, and then they entreated the people to obey it. That's what they did. True prophets would leave nothing off or add anything to it. Nothing off. And they definitely wouldn't add anything to it. They preached every word of God, even the hard truths. And so must all of God's spokesmen. And for by it, you will be saved, like it says over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Here we have the Word of God. And here he says of the Word of God, he says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but an imperishable seed through the living and abiding Word of God. For by it, you will be saved. You know, there these rulers, the rulers that God has appointed and put in place over his people, you know, their testimony can't save you. It can't save you. Their family stories can't save you. Their dumb and inane jokes cannot save you. It is the clear preaching, clear and consistent preaching of the Word of God, which God uses instrumentally to save lost sinners. Remember what 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, it pleased God that through the foolishness of the things preached to save those who would believe. And it's through the preaching of the Word of God. God uses his Word to save his people. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when the gospel of God and the Spirit of God come together, then bang, the kingdom of God is born in the heart of a sinner. That's how he works. And therefore, this word, the word of God, it leads to life, and it must be preached. Anything else is vain. God's ambassadors must preach the word of God. For by it you will be saved. And for by it you will be sanctified. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And so by it you will be sanctified. This word, the word of God, it renews your mind and it cleanses your heart. It refreshes your soul and it deepens your resolve. And nothing else can do that. Nothing else can do that. This is the word of God that exhorts and encourages and refreshes and sanctifies. And so to ignore it or neglect it would lead to destruction. So what is God's man to do? God's man is to preach the word of God, and he will do that. He will promote it, not himself, not another. This word, the word of God, is necessary for spiritual life and vitality. The word and the sacraments are the primary means of grace that God employs by his Spirit to ensure persevering faith in his children. And so remember them who are faithful in teaching the word of God. They're fulfilling their duty. Remember them. Remember them as faithful ambassadors. You know, as Paul said, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so there they are. That's what they did. The rulers, they preached the word of God as ambassadors. They were men, again, under authority. That's what they are. They're men under authority. A true servant of God will preach Christ. He will preach Christ, the sinner's only hope. They will preach Christ. They will point you to Christ, a sinner's only hope and a saint's only joy. That's what they will do. They will point Christ to you to Christ, and they will preach up Christ week after week. After week, they will exalt Christ. They will lift up Christ. They will promote Christ. They will rejoice in Christ. As Paul said, it's him, it's Christ we proclaim. Christ. We proclaim Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And he said, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. That's what they are to do. They are to preach Christ, point sinners to Christ, exalt Christ. Remember them who preach the word of God. They are. They are men under authority, and they are ambassadors for Christ. Remember them for good, those who taught you the word of God. You know, they gave you the truth you needed, not the lie you wanted. They didn't come teaching the I think and the I feel. They didn't stand up every Sunday in order to be seen or to tickle your ears with insipid family stories and stupid jokes. They came and they preached the word of God. They labored in the word and prayer throughout the week so that they could faithfully feed you the word of God, which saves and sanctifies your soul and the souls of your children. You know, those men are, they're marked out, though. They're marked out as men of God. You'll know them. You'll know them. Men whom God has appointed. Men whom Christ has appointed. And you will know them by their fruit. Remember Jeremiah 3:15. God says that I will give you shepherds. I will do that. I will give you shepherds who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. I'll do that. All these other hirelings, I didn't appoint them. You'll know them. Listen to them, though. Listen to them as they preach, as they teach, as they exposit the word of God and exhort you to do it. Consider them worthy. Listen to them and consider them worthy. As Paul said, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. So remember them for good. Those who they're faithful in teaching and they're faithful ambassadors of the Lord, and remember them for good. You know, these men, they labor in prayer even over your souls. They're fervent in prayer. They continually plead on your behalf before the throne of God and behalf of your family day after day after day. They do so with fervency and frequency. And they are persistent in it. They don't pray for a week and quit. Sometimes they pray for years and years over a lifeless sinner or a rebellious child of God until God will answer their petition. They ask and ask and ask. And they lift you up and your children before the throne of God. And they won't take no for an answer. And they passionately exhort you. You know, they remember them, how they not only taught you the word of God, but they encouraged you to obey it. To obey it, to do it. Hearing is not enough. Remember that blessing comes in the doing of the word of God. And so they have rebuked you and exhorted you to do that very, very thing. And they've come alongside you. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Let's go. Let's live life God's way. And they pleaded with you to pursue holiness, without which no man will see the face of God. And they've warned you and pleaded with you and encouraged you and exhorted you. Don't apostatize. Don't go after the things of the world that can never, ever truly satisfy a thirsty soul. Find your satisfaction and fulfillment in Christ, the fountain of living water. And they warned you and they pleaded with you and encouraged you and exhorted you. They encourage you to follow hard after Christ. They, you know, the temporal pleasures, the world, they're only going to lead you to disappointment and destruction, and they warned you. The things of the world can never truly satisfy. Run to Christ. And they waited patiently. They did all this in patience and teaching. For God, they waited for him to move your heart to repentance and obedience. Because only he can do that. But they didn't give up. Remember them. Remember them which have the oversight of you. And they served with diligence. They watched over your souls with diligence. Remember diligence. Remember how they pursued you when you wandered off from the fold and you wandered off the narrow path for a time, and they pursued you. They just didn't leave you to go, leave you be, and to continue off into hell. They pursued you. They went after you. They left behind all that they were doing, and they went after you. Remember them. Remember how they sought to protect you from false teachers, and they guarded the pulpit. They were forced even to remove other members from the membership who were threatening to spread or promote or propagate false doctrine. They were sowing corruption in the church. Remember them. Remember how they sought to protect the church of God from strife and false teachings. Remember how they warned you and counseled you from the Word of God. Remember them for good. Remember how they counseled you from the Word of God in every season of life. Sacrificially. Even in death, the faithful under-shepherd will be at your side to minister the Word of God. You know, there are so many shepherds who have caved to society. They have compromised to the culture. Their church services, you see it, they're no longer regulated by the Word of God. They no longer use God's blueprint and the material of God's Word and the services. They want to be more relatable and all that. They make excuses. You know, their families, though, it doesn't stop just there. Even their families are no longer organized or ruled or governed by the Word of God. Even their lives are just a complete mess. They're no longer governed by the Word of God. They've compromised. They've compromised to the world and to the culture. Stay far from them. Don't remember them and don't speak well of them. Don't seek to imitate them because they are not imitating Christ. Remember them. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the Word of God. And consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Remember the faith of them who finished well. That's the great cloud of witnesses that we looked at. These are the winners. The winners are the ones who are filling the stands. The winners. And they're cheering you on to the finish line. You see their faith? You remember how they died? They lived in faith and they died in faith? They persevered to the end. I remember I watched their life, and they laid aside every weight and sin that clings so closely that with endurance they were able to run that race set before them. I remember. And I do remember a few godly men who were exemplars of persevering faith. They were faithful ministers of the Word of God, and they kept the faith. They persevered and finished their race, and they spurred me on. Now I've entered into glory, though. And they've heard these words from our Savior, "Well done, well done." You know, they remained faithful to the end, to the very end. Even while more influential men, and I watched this happen, even while more influential men around them succumbed to the culture, and these men of God remained faithful. They stayed the course. They didn't give away to the tide of the culture. They didn't do that. Even while other churches and other rulers began to use worldly ploys and gimmicks and to build up attendance and to win favor with people, they stood fast on the Word of God. They did life and ministry in accordance to the Word of God, and they lived in submission to the authority of the Word of God uncompromisingly. They kept ministering the Word of God. They lived before the face of God to please God, not man. They were not men pleasers. And so you look at them. Look at their faith. Look at their enduring, persevering faith. Look at them. They didn't compromise to the societal mores. They stayed the course. See their steadfast resolve. You know, consider them, consider their faith, consider the end of their lives. They didn't cave. They didn't use this weak and deplorable excuse of, look, everyone else is telling stories from the pulpit. Everyone else is sending their kids to public school. Everyone else is integrating psychology into their pastoral counseling. Everyone else is holding children's church. Everyone else has a ministry for every category of human being under the sun. Everyone else has a worship team. Everyone else has this and that. They've received the LGBTQ and all that into their church and into their membership. Everybody else is doing it, so why not? So many churches and professed ambassadors of Christ have caved to the lie of the devil, and they're leading others with them. They are under authority. They will give an answer for what they've done, what they've said, how they've lived. Warning. Warning. But true men of God have stood their ground. They have held fast to the Word of God while holding forth the Word of God to a lost and dying world. This is it. This is the truth. Apart from this, you will die in your sins. This is the Word of God that saves and sanctifies. It points you to the Savior. It reveals God's holiness and your sinfulness. The Word of God. True men have stood their ground. They've held fast to the Word of God. They poured out their lives even as a drink offering on the faith of others. They won't compromise. You know, yes, many men have compromised, but you are to remember those who faithfully lived and ordered their lives according to the word of God, uncompromisingly. Remember them. Remember those who boldly employed you even to be watchful. Watch. Stand firm in the faith like men. Stay the course. Stay the course. No compromise. Hold the line. Remember them, who as men who were strong, remember them who, for who they were. They were men who were strong in the Lord. They drew strength from Him. They endured by His strength. Remember them. Remember they persevered in the faith, having not turned aside into apostasy, as so many are prone to do. You shouldn't remember their every flaw, since none are without spot or blemish. The object is the outcome of their faith. That's the object we're looking at. You imitate that, their faith. Imitate that. Consider their way of life. It was consistent, not sinless. You know, look at how their life turned out. They persevered in faith and obedience, and their way of life was pleasing to the Lord. And that was their greatest concern, was they lived before an audience of one. And their greatest concern was to please God, not man. He was Lord of their life. His word governed them, and they obeyed God and left the consequences to Him. Follow their way of godliness and holiness and conversation. Mimic them. Mimic them. Remember them. And obey them. Obey your leaders in 17 and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And you know, submission to civil authority is a religious obligation to God, and likewise submission to every form of divinely instituted authority is a matter of conscience before God. So wives are to submit to their husbands, and children are to submit to their parents, and so on and so forth. Servants to their masters, and so it is. Likewise, church members are to submit to their elders for conscience' sake. And when doing so, you know, this is all done in a conscientious submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. And therefore, that's what we're to do. Obey them, not only for conscience' sake, but for your own well-being. You know, they care for your soul. Your best interests are the object of their care, your best interest. Many others, you know, will be looking to scrutinize you for some misplaced word or modifier or some other activity which seems immature or Christian, and I've seen it all. But, you know, a faithful under-shepherd is looking to protect and save you. They labor to promote your best interest. Your highest interest. That's what they labor for. God oversees, you know, godly overseers, they delight in seeing you to do what? Think about it. What do they delight in? They delight in seeing you grow. They delight in seeing you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to see you mature. That's what they want to see. And that's why they preach and teach the Word of God. The Word of God that saves and sanctifies. And they rejoice when they see you growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can mark that out. You can see the fruit of that. It's obedience. You know when they're growing. They can see it. They know. They're growing in obedience to the Word of God. Even, you know, remember it's John the elder. He said he rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. So, you know, he wasn't rejoicing in their worldly successes and promotions and whatever it may be, their worldly achievements. No, he was actually rejoicing in this, that some of your children are walking in obedience. They're walking in the truth. They're walking in the way of God. They're walking in the will of God. And I'm rejoicing over that, he said. That's what he was laboring toward. That's why he was preaching and teaching the Word of God faithfully to them, week after week after week. And after all those years, he was seeing it right there. He was seeing there was fruit from all his labors of love. And so these rulers, they rejoice when you heed to the preaching and the teaching and the exhortation of the Word of God. It warms our hearts. It reinvigorates even our one passion, which is to faithfully minister the Word of God to the people of God for the glory of God. Remember them. And remember that these rulers or overseers or elders and pastors were placed in positions of authority for the good and the edification and the salvation of God's people. Remember them. Respect them and obey them as you ought. Let's go before the Lord and I'll close us in a minute. Father, thank you for those faithful, godly men whom you appointed and equipped to care and protect, to love on and nourish your people. I've been a benefactor of that over many years. Lord, may you help us to continue to listen to what they're saying and to do it. To remember what they've taught us from your holy word. To remember their lives and how they faithfully ran their course and endured to the end. Help us, Lord. to humbly obey them. For they have our best interest and our highest interest in mind. All for your glory, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.